It's the John Curley and Sherry Ellicker show with Jake Skorheim today. So great to have him along. And if you have any aspirations whatsoever to be letter of the day, now is the time to write in. Go to the Muckleshoot Resort text line, 1-888-973-5476, or go to mynorthwest.com. It's rare that you see Jake upset. I've never seen him mad. I've never seen him particularly annoyed. He's a very fair-minded guy. So when he said this morning he was really, really, really upset about something, I didn't know that it was something about fairies.
Mm-hmm.
The kind in the water.
Yeah, the Washington State fairies.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you have the floor, Jake.
All right. They're raising their fares. They're raising their fares because people are using them, so they've decided this is a great time to cash grab. The summertime for the ferry boat system is always very busy, and so there's always a line. They get more people out there because it's a sightseeing thing. It's nice. I'm like, nice weekends. Like, this is supposed to be kind of a rainy weekend. It'll still be busy because they don't have enough boats running right now. But next weekend is supposed to be sunny and beautiful and nice, so it's going to be slammed with people who are going to be using it. But the average cost for a couple in their vehicle who rides, say, the Edmonds Kingston run is going to go up by $10 over the summertime. That's a lot of money. I think it's like, what is it, $54 for going to be?
Yeah,
$54. It's going to be $54.35, the average cost for a couple with a standard car. It doesn't go up for kids because kids under 18 travel free on the ferries, so that's great for me. But I ride that Edmonds Kingston run all the time, so it's going to get more expensive. And in this time, and I don't like getting too upset about this, but the ferries are one thing that it is a constant consternation for me because I'm waiting in line all of the time for these boats.
Yeah.
And they constantly are not running for various reasons. I don't like to use harsh language, but I feel like somebody in the Washington State ferry system is shirking their responsibilities.
Ooh.
And they're not doing their job. I shouldn't use a word like shirking. I understand. It makes me feel bad.
Oh, you're going to make me cry. Stop it.
I know. And I don't like to have this ugly
words
face
are
on.
Words of violence, Jay.
I know. I don't like to use the words of violence. I really don't. I always like to be upbeat and I like to be fair. But I don't think somebody's doing their job because literally, people are not doing their job. Oftentimes, you will be waiting in line and you'll look up the ferry boats and be like, why am I waiting so long for this stupid boat? This shouldn't take long. On a weekday, sometimes you'll be waiting. And then you look it up and they go, oh, we're having staffing shortages. Mm-hmm. So they don't staff enough people to get on these boats.
Well,
which is
an
easy problem to fix.
Right. And we talk about this a lot, even, you know, just in our day-to-day show, but they're down a few boats. They're trying to get these
electric
boats.
They're always down a few boats.
Yeah, they've got a ton of problems.
I heard Jay Inslee on your show the other day. I talked about that on my show, too. I talked about your show on my show because I'm a P1. Sure. I love you guys' show. It's great.
That's Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Nights with Jake Skorheim. Check it out. Download the podcast wherever podcasts are sold.
The
thing about Jay Inslee when he was on your show, he was talking about how the way forward is only this new method that he's all excited about.
The e-ferries.
Right.
The e-ferries, yeah. Because electric vehicles are doing so great right now everywhere else. The e-ferries are just going to be the answer to all of our problems. They're going to be so wonderful. And he says, oh, you know, we really benefit from not being the first to do the e-ferries. Because Norway is the only people who've done it before, and now we're going to be the second who's going to do it, and that's suddenly going to be this, like, this silver bullet, this perfect thing that's going to fix all of our problems?
Well, the fact that Jay Inslee was willing to come on John Curley's show to talk about it, it just speaks to how big of a problem it is. Because he's like, people are losing their minds, because especially the commuters that have to use the ferries every day.
I am waiting. Like, I'm not a daily commuter on one of these ferry boats, but if I was...
Ferry, Jake.
Well, they're not called ferry boats?
No. A ferry is a boat.
Oh, that'd be like calling it a sailboat boat.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Jake,
I've never been on a sailboat boat, but I do take a ferry boat often. Okay. Sherry, your question.
So this is what I don't completely understand. So when something is backed up, like when there's a line at a restaurant or even the subway here, if that's going to take too long or it's too many steps,
sure,
I don't do it. I just like, I'm not doing that because it takes too long and I don't like to wait. I'm impatient.
I don't have another option. Yeah.
But that's what I was going to ask you. Is the ferry something that is, you know, absolutely necessary in your life?
Well, it's a state highway, number one. The ferries are a continuation of our roads. They're part of the state, you know, Washington State Department of Transportation. It is a highway across the water. So, yes, it's necessary. My in-laws live out there. I mean, God bless them. They're not young anymore. So they can't travel to us like we can travel to them. unless I want to drive down south around Tacoma and try to get over the Narrows and do all the different things that take a ton of time.
Gotcha.
There's crazy traffic down there. So, unfortunately, I have two options. I can take Edmonds Kingston, or I can drive all the way up around to what's that one that you can like book a spot on, the one up by Mukilteo. You can take one of those ferries as well.
Right.
But that takes forever to get to as well. So you're just like limited. So we're kind of stuck without these boats. And then the only boat that Jay Inslee's willing to even talk about is an e-ferry, because he read about one in some far off distant land somewhere. He thinks it's the answer. Also, it's a part of his legacy, which is another thing. If I'm being completely honest, I didn't love that about the interview where he was talking about, you know, this is the thing that, you know, like e-ferries and the Climate Commitment Act. I know that he's really hanging his hat on climate stuff right now. But what I would hang my hat on if I was working for the people of Washington, and I'm not, but if I were, if I was elected by them, you need to be like moving people around the area efficiently. Even if it's not something that you love, like even if he doesn't love diesel technology, he needs to get the boats in here as quick as possible to do that, because people cannot be asked to wait in line 2-3 hours every single day.
No.
Especially when it's hot.
Especially when it's hot.
So miserable.
It's completely inefficient. And like, it needs to be remedied. And we talked of this a long time ago. And I asked what I thought was a really stupid question, which is, why can't they import ferries from other places?
Great question.
Because they are doing this from the ground up with these e-ferries. And Norway is a beautiful, wonderful country. But it is about 1/75th of the United States. It's a very small country.
Totally.
So you can't always make those equivalents, right? You can't say, because it works in Norway, it's a different culture, different scene, different way of living in terms of when people, we have rush hours, we have all kinds of things. I'm not sure if they have that in Norway, but it would seem to me the more immediate problem, rather than trying to sell your climate stuff and just make people believe that it's going to work.
Yes.
Fix the problem.
No,
and whatever that takes to fix the problem.
Here's what I'm nervous about. And this is the thing that makes, you know, gives me kind of a, you know, if I'm being honest, harsh words, of a little bit of a frowny face. I'm worried. We're in this process of now looking at these ferries like they're only, and here's the other thing. There's like so many tangents on this one, but how is it possible they have this aging ferry fleet, 60-year-old ferry boats? Nobody steps in and goes, hey guys, you know what? Like these boats are all going to stop running pretty soon. Maybe we should start this 5-year process a little sooner than the day we need it. They're only accepting bids right now from potential boat builders.
Right.
Then that whole process has to be papered. Then after that process, everyone agrees on a price. Then the building process, which is years again out, the soonest they could possibly get in, if they signed a deal tomorrow, which they're not going to do, is going to be 2028.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sitting in traffic until my kids are all walking, which is ridiculous.
You'll have 8 by then.
I know. I'm going to have 9 kids by the time we get another ferry boat in this stupid thing. And I'm just like, he's putting all his eggs in this e-basket, this e-ferry boat. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like, wouldn't it be smarter if we kind of cast a little bit of a wider net? Let's think more about what we need right now. I understand wanting the best possible thing that you can get for the future, and that's great. But that's just not like the necessities to make sure that people can get on these boats and stop sitting in traffic. Fix the climate later. Let's get people back on the boats right now, and let's get those boats running efficiently. And then once you have earned our trust that you can just run a ferry system, then you can convince us that we should have a e-boat, if that's a thing.
Do you think it would be a good campaign selling point if one of the candidates that are running for governor promised that the ferry system would be updated and upgraded, and that would be something they would try to solve?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or is that a claim they can't really make?
I don't think they could make good on that claim.
Well, you know what? It wouldn't be the first time a politician promised something they didn't deliver on.
But right, and then Bob he just Ferguson, blames it on the legislature. That's all.
That's
just
true.
Blame it on them.
But Bob Ferguson, you know, like Attorney General Bob Ferguson, I think he and Inslee are like having a war of words or something right now, because he was the one who said, hey, you know what? I would consider diesel boats. He recognizes how crazy it's getting. And that's when Inslee came out and said, like, oh, that would be a brain-dead thing to do because climate. I just think he's being very close-minded. And again, he's not. We don't have to worry about him for much longer. He's not going to be the governor of our state next term. He's leaving to, I don't know what he's going to go do. He's probably going to work for an e-company somewhere. But this is, you know, this is not something that's going to be his problem. All of us are still going to have to sit in traffic for the next 4 years. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, again, harsh words, but I have a little bit of a frowny face and a worried face.
Frowny and worried?
Frowny and
worried. Settle down. Yeah. Settle down. I don't want to hear frowny and worried.
Listen here, 4 years from now, I don't want to, this is like a dire prediction. I don't like this. But let's say we get these magical e-boats in, and 4 years from now, they're running, everything's going along, and then we have an e-boat problem. Now we haven't planned. Now what do? We're going to wait 4 more years beyond that. Now we're talking 2020, what is that, 2032, before we can get a different boat in here? Like, what if these e-boats aren't the perfect technology that Norway is experiencing? It feels like we're kind of putting a lot of eggs in that basket. We've had diesel boats for 100 plus years. We've had e-boats for a month. How long have we had these?
We don't have them yet.
I don't even know how long we've had diesel or e-boats.
Well, not yet. Not any time.
I think they'll work. It's just that it's going to be a while before we get them. And like you said, at earliest, it'll be 2028.
And that is so unfair to the general public, because while they are able to put another climate feather in their cap, people are wasting their time and their lives sitting in line and the frustration and the anger that they feel. And, you know, frowny face and what was the other one?
Worried face.
Worried face.
Yeah. Worried face. Yeah. Not good for people.
No.
I mean, Jake's even standing now. Like,
I'm standing. I couldn't even sit down. No. I had to stand for that.
Yeah. Well, let's hope something comes of this.
Jake. And I know what he said on your show. He goes, folks, if we switch back to diesel at this point, it's going to take even longer to get those boats in the water. But that is a situation that he created, that they created in the Washington State Ferry System.
Right.
They could have started this process a lot longer ago. And I know they had some bid that fell through because somebody bought a company or whatever that was. But they need to be planning better than they're planning. So whoever they hire next to be governor, whoever they hire next to run the Washington State Ferry System, needs to, you know, put their adult pants on.
Right. Wow. And they need to see what else is out there that they could acquire quickly.
Quickly.
I'm sure they've done that. But
can we rent something from Staten Island? I don't know. Just get a boat over here.
Hey, Norway, why don't you send us one of yours?
Yeah. Well, good luck getting it over here. It's going to have to charge 25,000 times on the way.
Yeah. Because once the e-boats get here, there'll be no problems with new technology.
Zero.
Can you
problems.
Imagine?
Yeah,
nothing
no, perfect.
Will go wrong.
Yeah,
nothing
we never
at
have
all.
Any. We never have any e-car stories.
Lori
right.
in the 206 says, "Frowny and worried. Jake should be tested for menopause."
It's catching.
Have you ever smelled an unknown odor on a ferry boat?
No, I haven't. Very interesting, though.
Yes. If you were on a flight from L.A. to Seattle, an Alaska Airlines flight, they had a little problem. There was a very bad odor that filled the plane, and they had to turn around and go back. They say it was not anything to do with exhaust or with or what does a plane have exhaust?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, exhaust. All right. Yeah, doesn't have anything to do with that. Like, it wasn't a burning smell. It wasn't whatever. They just described it as an unknown odor in the cabin.
Are they thinking it's like a human odor? Like, probably. I mean, I guess they're not being specific about it.
Right, and that has happened before.
Yeah.
We've talked about that, where people have
just
had problems.
A week ago, a dog pooped in the aisle, and they had to turn
well,
the plane around.
That dog did exactly what they deserve that dog to do, because they lost that dog. They lost the dog.
Uh-oh.
The dog was panicked and upset. And when the lady had to come all the way from North Carolina to pick up the dog, or maybe she had to go to North Carolina to pick up the dog, because they lost it. Yeah, they lost it in luggage. They called her, and then she's had to fly all the way back to get the dog.
What is it with people losing animals? We just had the cat shipping story.
Sherry has a frowny face.
And they were nude. Just to bring it all together.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I know. So, they lost the dog. She picks the dog up at the airport. The dog is freaked out.
Well, that's what an animal will do. You're
right.
Absolutely,
I know.
Right.
I don't feel sorry I'm sorry other people had to deal with it. But, yeah, so that's what happened.
This is pretty drastic, though, because when the flight landed, when the flight returned and had to land, they said that there were fire crews. Whatever this odor was so drastic that fire crews were called in and were waiting on the tarmac for them. Can you imagine if it was just somebody with like
really, really bad gas,
or something? And like, you can't claim that, obviously, like the whole plane has been turned around and now everyone's in hazmat suits running out of the plane. You're just like, oh man, this is embarrassing. That's horrible.
It's very, very scary.
I wonder if it was a Boeing.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Do we know that? We don't know that.
I don't know. I haven't investigated.
Yeah. If it's an Airbus, I'm not interested.
Ozempic. We can get to this quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Ozempic is a drug that is, of course, been the resolution to many, many people that are overweight, you know, their problem. However, more and more things are coming out about it that make it even, you know, make it good and make it bad. Recently, they discovered that Ozempic will help with fertility.
Oh, it helps with fertility.
Yes, it does. It helps with fertility.
Ironically, it does. There are related problems with erectile dysfunction, though.
Yes,
but it helps that with fertility.
Yes. So, but all kinds of other things: gallstones, ketoacidosis, kidney damage,
muscle loss, hair loss.
Yeah.
Suicidal thoughts. That's always one that they tack on.
These are all really on there.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But these are, if you read any kind of directions or any kind, we used to have to hide my dad, when my dad was alive, we would hide that thing you get from the drugstore with all the side effects because he would read it and then not want to take the medicine.
Yeah.
And even the most bizarre ones, like, oh, you'll grow, you know, a sixth finger. He'd be like, I think I'm growing that finger now.
Yeah,
and it was just like, no,
he's
no.
He's going to notice that when he takes it down.
Yeah, so that's, I'm just saying that, you know, that, I don't know, maybe it's still good. I would still take it if I...
Would you?
If I wanted to, yes, I definitely would.
Well, and for people with, like, type 2 diabetes and stuff, I think it's a real game changer.
Yeah, for sure. But also, I mean, like, I will say, like, it does have a lot of side effects. I don't know how, I don't like that it's become such a popular thing.
Bad.
Especially for celebrities, you know, everybody seems to be taking it. However... they all look pretty great, so I can
really.
I can see why they're doing it.
Effective.
Yeah, I would do it. I would do it for my health, and I would do it for because it looks. They look pretty good. Hey, thank you, Jake. Thank you for venting and for
I'm
letting.
Sad about that. Okay. I don't like to show that
good
side
now?
Of myself. Yeah.
Feel better?
No, back to upbeat. I'm feeling
okay,
good.
Okay, I know, but I'm glad we made you feel safe enough that you could do that.
Yeah, I got a smiley face now.
Nice. I'm good. That's good. It's the John Curley and Sherry Ellicker Show today with Jake Skorheim, and NPR is looking for you. If you've got a very quirky habit, something that you do, but your sibling also does it, they want to hear about it. That's right. They are looking for unusual traits that you share with your sibling. And the example that they give is this: these two people, man and a woman, brother and sister, and they go to a restaurant and they have a little girl there and she keeps dropping her crayons. So they couldn't really reach under. They couldn't reach to get to the floor. So they started to pick up the crayons with their feet. And come to find out, both of them have this very dexterous trait with their feet.
What an aha moment.
What?
It's like their feet went for it at the same time and kind of touched in the middle.
Oh, no, we're related. That must have been fun.
Yeah,
so they're picking up crayons with their feet. That's the story that NPR. I can't believe we're not funding this organization more.
They also found that this is true a lot with twins that have been separated at birth. So, for instance, there's two women, and they were raised in different households, but they both wore the exact same lipstick. I mean, you've heard these stories before.
Yeah,
where the
I have twins in my family. I have two sets of twins
really?
In my family. Yeah, and they do. God, twins are amazing. The connection that they have is just unreal.
So do they have any kind of quirky, what they're calling a quirk in common that they do that only
like
those two can do?
Picking up crayons with like feet or like, I don't know if they have talent like that. I don't know if they can do that kind of stuff.
Well, but not everybody has that.
Not everybody has that talent, yeah.
Is it, do they have anything else? Do they have like something that they both do or
you know what's
a
strange
way?
Thing? I would say this is a strange thing. And this is not, I don't know if this, I don't want to say this is a talent or just a weird coincidence, but my brother is married to a twin. She and her sister are twins. They both, and just crazy coincidence, they both met their my brother's wife and her sister, so the two girls. They both met their boyfriends at the same time, which then became their fiancés, which then became their husbands, within 2 or 3 days of each other. They both independently, when they were searching for, when their fiancés were searching for engagement rings, not only did they get engaged unknowingly to the like they within like a week of each other, and they had not discussed. My brother and then his sister, his future sister-in-law's husband, did not discuss like, oh, let's both propose to these two twins at the same time. They hadn't even talked about it. They both just got engaged within a week of each other, and they both picked out the same ring.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that crazy? And they had never.
So you twin brothers married.
No. My brother's not. No, my brother's not a twin. It was. I don't have two brothers that married sisters. No.
Oh, I okay.
No, my brother. My brother's married to a twin.
Now that would be weird.
Yeah, that would be weird. My brother's married to a twin, and then I have a set of nieces who are twins. And they both, I mean, like, just twins, the way that twins interact and have, like, you know, like a language almost of their own. They don't even need to communicate. It's almost telepathic, the thing that they can, you know. I'm not saying that they're telepathic. I'm just saying that they have, they can really communicate well together.
It would be cool if they were telepathic.
Wouldn't that be neat?
This other thing that they say is that, so let's say you're not twins and you've got this weird foot thing that you could pick up coins and loose change and whatever it is. That may be because you inherited... 50%, you each inherited like 50% of your parents' DNA, and that came forward, even though your parents don't have that particular trait. It may have just gotten into the jumble of your DNA.
So what you're saying is somewhere generations back, like maybe their great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather picked up crayons with his feet. Is that right?
Well, theoretically.
What an amazing inheritance to get from your grandfather.
And the other possibility, I guess, is that, you know, your parents have this, they pass it on to you, and then you pass it on to persons, or it could be something that was generations ago, that was a weird quirk that finally came out in the DNA when you were born.
People who have different color eyes. You know, like sometimes that's
Well, that's not really a trick.
It's not a trick, but it's like a genetic thing that you've received from somebody.
Yes.
Do you have a sister, right?
Yeah.
Do you guys have any of these like really amazing tricks that you both do? No.
No. No. The only tricks I do is I'm double jointed.
Oh, that's neat.
Nice.
So like you can make your thumb like do funny things and stuff.
I can do this.
Oh, don't do that. Don't do that. That's gross. Nope.
Oh, come on.
Have you ever broken a bone or anything? Probably not, because you're so flexible.
No, I'm still, even at this age, really, really flexible. Yeah, I'm double-jointed in my hands and my knees, my hips.
How do we not know about that? John must know this, right?
I don't know if he does.
I mean, the elbow thing is, that was gnarly.
Really crazy looking. But, it's like you can bend your elbow almost as much as you can bend your elbow the other way.
Absolutely. We used to play this game. We'd be in the cafeteria, and AC Gregg, who I had this enormous crush on, I would let him do this. He would come up, and he'd be like pretending he was mad at me, and then he'd say, well, you know what? Just forget it then. And he'd bump my elbow, and then my elbow would go all crooked like that. Like he
you know, he loves me.
Yeah. In fifth grade, Jody Levine, I could put one leg behind my head. One day, Jody Levine comes out of the school. She's got both legs behind her head.
Oh, man. She outdid you.
Yes.
How did she come out of the school like that?
Well, they were carrying her.
Oh.
No, they, on either side, she had somebody carrying her.
She's on a slip and slide.
I just, like, I dropped the dodgeball. I'm like, wait a minute.
Was it like
I practiced all weekend long.
Was it like a duel? Now you guys are like flexibility duel.
I'm the double jointed one. Yeah.
So that's my trick.
Does your sister, is she also double jointed?
No.
Oh.
No. Okay. No. And I read a lot about it. And one of the things that it seems like I've read that every autistic person is double jointed. But not every double jointed person is autistic.
Yeah.
Interesting.
My Joe, do you have siblings? Are you and your siblings?
I do. Yeah,
have
I have
tricks
a No, I have a brother and a sister, and we could not be more different. My sister is a nun, my brother is a federal agent, and if you knew much about my past, you'd know that I just could not be further away from
No, I would now. I wouldn't assume that you're a nun.
No, thank you.
Yeah. I have siblings. We don't have any. We have some things in common, like just like the stuff that siblings might have. Like, you know, I look like my brothers. My brothers and I kind of look similar. We have, you know, we're
that
different.
Makes sense.
We're not twins.
Yeah.
But we, you know, we have vague similarities. But all of my siblings are very artistic. So like my sister she can play anything she hears. She can play it on piano, which is an amazing skill.
Yeah.
I can't play any instrument. My brother is also really musical. They're all amazing artists and can do all these things. And I just, none of it. I have none of those things. I can't draw. I can't play music.
I can't sing.
You feel kind of ripped off?
Yeah, I do, actually. Yeah. Because they all got it from somewhere.
Right.
And like Sherry was saying, if people are getting bits of DNA from your family. Thank you, Andrew. Yeah. Wah, wah. People are getting DNA from their family and they can do these cool things. Double jointed, crayons with the toes, or artistic things. And then I'm, nothing.
But you are artistic. You're very creative. You're funny. You're a writer.
Ish. But sit down in front of a piano, that moves people. You sit down in front of a piano, you play a song, people go, oh my gosh, that's amazing.
That is a very cool talent.
I would love to have that talent. Can you imagine just being able to sit down and just like play a song and just capture the room's attention?
Just pick up a guitar and like start strumming it.
Yes, and I always imagined what that would be like as a kid, just be able to pick up a guitar and just like sing a song, and everyone thinks you're so handsome immediately, all these things. All these benefits of being musical, and I can whistle,
man.
Like Joe's established that I can whistle.
Can you give us just a little bit of the whistle?
No, I can't. It doesn't translate over the radio, and I don't want to do it.
It is really impressive, though.
You say that, but it's not that impressive.
All right, can we do a tease? Can we go to traffic with Nate?
Nobody wants
to
hear
the
whistle,
Sherry.
Let's hear the whistle.
All right. Yeah, we can come back. I'll whistle a little bit when we come
back. All right. So don't go anywhere, because we're going to get the whistle. I want to say thank you to Wilcox Family Farm Eggs, the best eggs in town. Go get some. Wilcox Family Farm Eggs. Okay, before we get to the letters, Jake made us a promise. He's in for John today. And we just, apparently he has got some pretty mad skills when it comes to...
I don't know.
Mad skills.
I'm an embarrassed guy. I don't like being
whistling
on the spot. All right, tell me if you've heard this little ditty. Are you familiar with a show called The Andy Griffith Show?
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
I feel like this is a good example because everybody can remember the show, and so you can, All right, here we go. Let me wet him. It doesn't make you nervous. I
don't listen like you. Fantastic.
Yes.
There we go.
I could keep going. Okay. I could go on. And on. I told you, like I said last segment, whistling is very underwhelming. It's nice to hear in person. Doesn't translate over the radio.
It's a little harder, but I will say your range and the vibrato that you get on some of your notes is really impressive.
Joe, you are making me feel good. Thank you so much. Well, Joe sits right next to me for him.
Yeah.
I spend a lot of time whistling at my desk, and then he ends up having to sing these songs all day.
He's a big fan, so good.
So it was nice to meet a fan. Yeah.
let's meet the mailman.
I'm the mailman, as you can see, I'm the mailman, don't nobody mess with me, I'm the mailman, if you didn't know, I'm the mailman, I bring the mail to your door.
Okay, Whistling Jake, you go right ahead.
All right, this is Adam in the 360 talking about jeans. I think we were talking about different names for shorts earlier.
Or what they were called before they were called jeans.
Okay, Adam was suggesting dungarees was a name for them.
What was the answer? It was like overall unders or something?
Yes. I'm sorry, Adam. The correct answer was waist overalls.
That's waist overalls.
Waist overalls. Jason says, be careful when you're trimming your twig and berries because you can get your twig and berries caught. This is on Naked Gardening.
Yes. Naked Gardening, yeah. The context helps on that
one. Should have said that first.
425 says, more interesting would be nude bacon frying. Now, that is risky. That's absolutely true.
That is risky. James in Bellevue says, knickers is just an abbreviation of knickerbockers, which refers to knee-length trousers. The word comes from the fact that knickerbocker is a common Dutch surname, and many of the Dutch immigrants in New York wore knee-length trousers. Hmm. Well, look at that.
So
we were
both
right, Jay.
So, we're right. Pretty good. Mike in Portland says, when I saw the video, I couldn't help but think it looked like that bear was eating ducklings like popcorn. It's a shame. I'm sorry for that image, Sherry.
John in Lake Tapp says, Juniper was nude.
The bear, by the way.
Oh,
the bear.
Yeah.
Okay.
She was.
Yes.
On the frat party fundraiser, James in Polesbo says, random thought, what if those frat brothers donated the money to a Palestinian aid group? The irony would be hilarious.
That would be a twist.
Yeah, I'll say. Unicycle Mike on the cat in a box. Have you ever picked up a box with a cat in it? you know. You know when there is a cat in a box. Their bodies are like jellos and flop around.
Yeah, this is agreed. On that couple who shipped a cat. I don't believe that they didn't know. There's just no way they couldn't have known.
And now it is time for the letter of the day.
All right. Go ahead, Mr. Skorheim.
509 says, bad news, guys. The monkey toe thing isn't rare at all. I work in an OR, and for years, I did 10 hours of podiatry twice a week. I once commented on the fact that I was so embarrassed because my daughter has full monkey toe. I don't remember the percentage, but it is in the double digits of people that have monkey toes. Is this people picking up crayons?
I think so.
Well,
yes.
Wow.
So it is.
I don't know, but we've all been educated on monkey toes and knickerbockers. Yeah. So we all know that's it. Jake, do you have another hour?
Yeah, of course.
All right. Why don't we do that?